An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you for these wonderful accounts of your coming to us at Christmas with grace, but also humility. I pray that as we examine this account of shepherds, Lord, that we would be able to see your love and grace, and that your gospel would be clear to all your people, despite my own shortcomings as the messenger. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the shepherds at Christmas always get a bad rap, don't they? In one of the most well-known Christmas movies, Charles Schulz's A Charlie Brown Christmas, one of the main characters, Lucy, is passing out costumes and scripts to all the different kids for the Christmas pageant. And she comes to one of the least well-known, most boring characters in the entire Peanuts comic strip universe, this boy named Shermie. I can see none of you remember him. He's not very memorable. And she hands him a cloak and a shepherd's crook, that long wooden staff with a hook on the end to grab the sheep. And he responds despairingly, "Every Christmas it's the same. I always end up playing a shepherd." And if you've seen the movie, you hear the inflection in his voice as it drops off with sorrow that he is yet again a shepherd. If you've ever been a shepherd in a Christmas play, perhaps you felt the same way. No one wants to be the shepherd. Just one rung above playing the sheep. And in fact, being a sheep is kind of fun because you get to make noise and wander about on all fours. You know, kids want to be one of the magi, the kings, or Mary and Joseph, or the angel. Years ago when my children were very small, before we came here to Covenant of Grace, I got to play King Herod in a church Christmas play, and that was really fun. I got to wear a crown and a robe, and I had lines, and I got to be scary. But no one again wants to be a shepherd. Shepherds just fade into the background. But God sees them differently, doesn't he? In God's eyes, to have the status of a shepherd is no small and insignificant thing. Tonight, as we look at this true story of God announcing the birth of Jesus to shepherds and inviting them to meet their Lord and Savior that night in Bethlehem, I want to invite you to join me as we step into their sandals. Tonight, I want us all to embrace the humble status of a shepherd and join them in the glorious privilege of going to see our Savior and be forever changed by him. Have you ever stopped to wonder at the extreme contrast between the shepherds and what they saw that night as they tended their sheep? Maybe you're at this service and you've heard this so many times, the story just goes in one ear and out the other, and it's just the way things are. You haven't thought about why. But when you think about it, no reasonable person would expect God Almighty, the God of all creation, to send an angel and his heavenly host, literally heaven's armies, and brightest angels to shepherds, as royal messengers announcing to certain poor shepherds, as it says in the first Noel, the good news of Emmanuel, God with us.
especially since it's before anyone else gets the message that the Savior promised to God's people throughout their history had arrived. Who'd you expect God to go to? To the mighty, right? To kings, to rulers, to philosophers, to politicians? Please, no. You know, the people who matter, and the people who can spread the news most effectively and efficiently to their people, right? That would make sense. That would be logical. I think this is why it's around this time of year that, depending on your interaction with the social media algorithms, you begin seeing articles and social media posts popping up, giving you some new insight or detail into the Christmas story that just changes everything, right? When you see that, just ignore it. These articles often make the shepherds into people who were really special or out of the ordinary in some way. There will never be an end to those who feel the urge to say something new, even when it's unnecessary. And as a result, they tend to present uncertain claims as if they were facts. One of them involves the shepherds actually being priests. They might have been watching flocks of sheep marked for sacrifice in the temple, or they were just normal sheep, probably the latter. They may have lived in town, or like most shepherds in this day, lived semi-nomadic lives following the grazing needs of their flocks in the region. This is probably more likely since the scripture says they were living in the fields. Regardless, given the lack of detail offered in scripture, the safest bet is to ignore any of those new ideas you might hear and just look at them as ordinary shepherds out in ordinary fields, watching ordinary sheep that went baa like any others, made a mess whenever and wherever they needed to, occasionally wandered off and needed protection from predators. If anything, these shepherds point back to the insignificance of David, the shepherd who tended an ordinary flock in these same fields near Bethlehem hundreds of years earlier, but before he was anointed king, before he had significance. These shepherds weren't notable or special in any way, nor were they despised or looked down on. They were just not noticed. They just weren't seen. They were an afterthought of society. In other words, hardworking, common people, but also often out on their own, lower on the social and economic ladder, people who were easy to forget. I spent the first few years after college working on Capitol Hill as a congressional staffer. I was never anyone significant, so that's the boring part of the story. But I was surrounded by people who thought they were and who longed to be more and more significant. That's kind of the lifestyle on Capitol Hill. It was amazing how often my peers would name drop the various people they knew or interacted with. Whether or not anyone paid attention to you was entirely related to your perceived connection or nearness to those with actual power or fame. Inflated accomplishments, tenuous connections to power, family pedigree, these are the currencies of politics in our world. Status is everything. And there is no status more humble than that of a shepherd. I've spent so much time on this because I think it says something significant to us that God chose to reveal his glorious good news, the best news in all of human history, to shepherds and not to those with powerful or elite status in the world. For him to deliver to them the news that today in the city of David, a Savior who has been born, who is Christ the Lord, this is a reversal and an inversion of the world's paradigm for what status truly matters. Yet it was to these shepherds that God sent the news and rolled out the red carpet. And it was to them he sent this great company of his heavenly host of armies of angels rending open the sky. And for that moment, it was in their sight and experience that the glorious realm of heaven spilled out into and mixed with the mundane earthiness of the sheep herd, with all its animal mess and baaing and dirty feet and the shepherd's groggy eyes. It all blended with the shouts of angels clothed with the radiance that comes from being in the presence of God. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace with God to humble shepherds lying in the field as of first priority. Favored shepherds, favored in their humble state, perhaps because of their humble status. And I say they were favored by God due to their humility, not in spite of it, because this juxtaposition of indescribable glory on the one hand and mundane humility on the other is very consistent with how God chooses to reveal his salvation throughout history and throughout Scripture. He always, always comes to the humble. He is, after all, the one who chose Abraham, if you know your Old Testament. He was a man without children, without name or status, and he chose him to be the father of his covenant family. God said, your offspring will outnumber the stars. And here today, if you are one who has trusted in Jesus, you are called a child of Abraham, this no-name man who initially couldn't have kids until the promise of God came. He chose Moses, who was a killer on the run and a man with a lisp, to negotiate the release of his people from captivity in Egypt to the most powerful ruler in that day. This killer on the run with a lisp he chose. He chose Ruth, a poor widowed immigrant, to be part of the line and family that led to Jesus. He again chose David, the youngest son of a man named Jesse. One in seven kids, I believe. Sorry if I got that wrong. You can tell me later. He was a shepherd himself, courageous in the face of adversity, but unknown and without renown. He chose David to be king over his people and to be the one whose lineage would issue in Jesus, the humble Savior with humble human ancestors, God in frail humanity, born to a poor family and laid in an animal feed bin. This humble Savior would be the only hope of a broken and sin-fractured humanity, of whom the Apostle Paul wrote, he did not count equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. There's no better description of Christmas than that. Humility and the knowledge of one's own humble status before others and before God seems to be the defining characteristic of those to whom God comes and reveals himself. Because it is in the very nature of God to humble himself for the benefit of the people he made, like you, like me. You see, if you know the God of Scripture, it shouldn't actually be surprising to you that he sends his best and brightest to poor shepherds. It shouldn't actually be a surprise. Or it shouldn't be a surprise that he comes to save his people through human weakness and humility, not conquering might. This is how he has always, always worked. Using the foolishness of the world to shame the wise, and the weakness of the world, what is weak and lowly in the eyes of the world, to overthrow the strong. This is who he is. To know Jesus, to be one of the people who go and see him like the shepherds, you don't need to be someone significant. You don't need to be someone with status. In fact, those things actually stand in the way because you have to set those on the shelf in order to actually want to see him. You need to know and embrace the humble status of a shepherd before him and before your neighbors, even the ones this world might tell you you're better than. And that is good news tonight. If you are someone who feels small and forgotten by the world, someone who feels forgotten and unknown. Well, God honoring the shepherds should absolutely challenge anyone who thinks that they are something in the world or that they've earned God's attention by what they have accomplished. It should encourage them to consider their smallness before the God of all creation. To those who think they're nothing, to those who hesitate to even come here tonight because it's a fearsome thing to walk into a church and worry about being judged, to those like you who, due to poverty, due to sin, due to shame, or simply the harshness of our unfair world, know that God esteems the lowly and the meek. You are not too small for him. And this Jesus who was born on Christmas was also the one who would eat dinner with sinners and tax collectors. Your life is not insignificant to the God of all creation, even if it is to you. He knows every hair on your head, and he invites you to embrace his invitation to the glorious privilege of seeing Jesus and experiencing the relationship with him that he freely extends by faith. Do you believe this? Ask yourself. This is the meaning of Christmas. And that is the next thing I want you to know about what it means to have the status of a shepherd. To have the status of a shepherd means that you've been given a glorious privilege that is far above your station, no matter what your station is in the world, high or low. When the angels announce the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, they tell them exactly where to find him and what to expect when they get there. He'll be in Bethlehem, they say. He'll be wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. What a glorious privilege these shepherds are given. To not only experience the announcement of Jesus' birth by the heavenly host, but to have the invitation to be the first to go and meet God incarnate in the town nearby. Another story from Capitol Hill. When I worked there, I often took the train to work. And on those many train trips back and forth, the Mark train, which is fitting, my name's Mark. Thank you, obligatory chuckle. I made a friend, though, who worked at the Supreme Court. One year, his wife couldn't make it to the court's Christmas party, so he invited me. Talk about a privilege well above my station. And for part of the evening, I was standing there in the court library, in the Supreme Court building in D.C., as part of a group that was relatively small, being led in singing Christmas carols by the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. What an incredible privilege, right? That experience had nothing, not one iota of value compared to the shepherds that night in Bethlehem. After the angels announced the good news, they said among themselves with wonder, "Let's go and see this thing that has happened. This thing." You know, they're so dumbfounded by the gift they've been given, it's like it's too hard for them to even utter what this thing is. They could have said, "This Savior who's been born," but the news is just too good to speak it. The one promised to our ancestors and whom we've been waiting for generations and generations, the one who promises to make all things new and set everything to rights, God himself has come among us. He will cover our sin and our shame. So they went with haste to see Jesus, finding things exactly as the angels told them, a baby lying in a feeding trough. Just a note about this scene, if it hadn't been for the angels' announcement, what they saw would not have surprised them. It was nothing special. Just a poor family with a baby, newborn, from out of town. Despite Renaissance paintings displaying him with a halo, he didn't have one, nor did Mary. There's no reason to think there was anything external that indicated he was any different at all. He probably cried a lot, like babies do, and they probably had to change those swaddling cloths from time to time. Yet this little baby had been God from before time began. In time and space, he took on flesh and blood and chose to take on the form of a nobody, just like David had been a nobody. Just like Abraham, Ruth, Moses, just like the shepherds. And the shepherds, having heard the angels and seen what they said to be true, they marveled. They were amazed. And more than that, they believed the good news. But after they saw, something changed for them. You know, I will never forget the moment I held each of my children in my arms for the first time. I have three kids that are all teenagers now. The first time I set eyes on their faces, that moment for each of them is indelibly seared into my memory. I pray I will also never forget the feeling of joy that I could not contain to myself. You better believe that after every birth, we were taking pictures and we were sharing them with friends, regaling them with all the standard details you always get when a new baby's born, the details of height, weight, health, the baby's sex, and how Laura was doing, my wife. Each of those experiences, though, was transformative, and I wanted to share it. When you in your minds look on the nativity scene, what good has looking done for you? What change has seeing wrought in your hearts and lives? What difference has knowing about Jesus' birth and his life and death on the cross for our sin and his resurrection to new and everlasting life as a down payment of the inheritance we have through faith in him? What difference has knowing about it made for you? The shepherds show us the response. When they see the baby, hear the angels, they stand in awe of all of it. Their wonder turns to joy. They praise God, and then they talk about it. It reshapes both how they see themselves and how they live in relation to others. When the shepherds saw Jesus, the truth that God's salvation had come to them it made a complete difference. That they had the forgiveness of sin through God coming to his people and bringing rescue through this tiny child who would grow up and lay down his life for them. This new relationship with God caused them to see themselves with a different status, a glorious and favored status by God. These forgotten, humble shepherds with no status gained a boldness they had never known as they ran into the town they didn't even live in and shared with the people who had forgotten them all they had witnessed. They had a new status as favored ones, as ones God himself has set his love upon. They forget what the world sees them as. They forget that they're supposed to be unknown. They only know that God has come to them in time and space and brought them light and everlasting life in the face of Jesus Christ, their Lord. And then because of that gift, they don't hold it to themselves. They share the same love and privilege they have received with others. Brothers and sisters, this Christmas, I invite you not to simply enjoy the aesthetics of the Christmas season, the comfort of family gatherings, the craziness of presents and the chaos of Christmas morning, the cookies, the carols, the dinners. I invite you to experience its meaning, to go and in your hearts look upon the nativity scene, reflect on what it means for God to have come to us in humility as a servant, revealing himself and his salvation to the lowly and forgotten ones. Ask yourself, do I believe this? Do I know my need of this Lord and his sacrifice for me? And if so, am I willing to be changed by knowing him? And let looking on him with faith transform you and your hopes, just like it did for these poor shepherds in the field who went, saw, bore witness, and were forever changed from the inside out by God who came to them in humility and love. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you and praise you that you have come to us from the lowest to the highest. Thank you that our status doesn't matter before you, but we are all humble shepherds who experience the privilege of your grace in the face of Jesus Christ. Fill us, Lord, with wonder in this Christmas season. Wonder at your gift of grace. And may we go with the boldness of shepherds bearing your light into dark places in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.